You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it on your favorite podcast source and leave it a good review. Joining us today to talk about the upcoming NFL draft is the scout, Dave T. Thomas. Dave T., welcome back.
Hey, big guy, how you doing? I'm telling you, I'm excited about this draft. You know why? Everybody has to go out right now and go play Dr. Watson. No longer play Sherlock Holmes. No longer brag, yeah, I saw this guy, I saw that guy. They now got to go sit down with their Dr. Watson within their organization to go over the game films, to go over the players itself. In other words, the scouts are going to play more importance this year in the draft than ever before.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that? Because we were talking just before we started recording on how things may be different this year. Obviously, with everything that's going on, teams cannot bring players into their facility to speak with them, to work out with them. So how do you see that changing the way teams approach their draft preparation?
The four-year plan, those scouts have been out there since day one watching these kids. It's not like years past, you know, like 7-8 years ago. GM scouting directors right now tell their scouts, stop putting together your book on anybody that you see on campus that you like, because you never know what's going to happen. I think what we're going to be seeing is a different element as far as, especially with the video conferencing. With the video conferencing, these kids don't have to go on a world tour. They don't have to fill up their travel bag with peanuts, because now it's like if the Giants want to talk to this guy or the Jets want to talk to him also, all I have to do is sit down there and do a video conference. And so I tell the kids, keep your onesies on, just put a nice shirt over it. I think what we're going to see a lot is the relaxed atmosphere from the kids, because anytime a kid goes in, I don't care how high up on the pecking board he is. Yes, sir. No, sir. And you turn around, you think you're having an earthquake in the room because the kid's knees are shaking. Now it brings a more comfortable element to the game. The biggest problem that I see on this thing is if a general manager all of a sudden walks into that war room and says, I'm still the emperor. If he does that and then does not rely on his underlings, this is going to be a disastrous draft. Case in point, DG over with the Giants. I think that right now we're seeing Captain Hook putting out the plank for DG after the season.
All right, so let's talk about some of the prospects to watch. Now, if you were the Jets sitting there with pick 11, which player are you hoping falls to you?
Oh, my God, if I'm there with pick 11 right now, I'm taking Gas, I'm taking Joe Douglas. If I'm Sam Donald, and locking him up in my closet. I'm not letting him out till he sees the fallout of the three wide receivers that are going to come on the board. Or possibly, we seem ridiculous times. Possibly my fourth-rated ball player, Tristan Wirfs, could slide down to the Jets at number 11. So why would the Jets want to trade down? I do know that Atlanta has already made an offer to the Jets to move up in case Simmons ends up sliding to number 11. But you got to be a nut job if Simmons slides to number 11 and said, gee, okay, let me go take a couple of Ford Focuses while you drive home in a Mercedes.
So which of these receivers do you like best?
I like Ruggs' speed and his pass-catching ability. What concerns me with Ruggs is that last year, 34% of the time he was stymied at the line of scrimmage because he couldn't get his clean release. So you're looking at a clean release factor. I don't care that you run 4-3-2. If you can't get off the line of scrimmage, you're not running at all. My obvious top guy is CeeDee Lamb. I was really hoping that I'd see him in Arizona because him and Kyler Murray already have chemistry. Could we possibly see them still going with him at number 8? Yeah, possibly over there, because you got to look at Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, that guy's been around since, George W., and I don't mean George Bush. I mean the other George W., you know, number 1. So you have to look at the situation of what they're trying to build over in Arizona, even though that they need defensive help, a priority. It's hard to pass up on a blue chip wide receiver like CeeDee Lamb. I'm not convinced that Jerry Jeudy is anything more than a Brandon Cooks number 2 type.
How about the offensive linemen? What are your views on the top linemen in this draft class?
Tristan Wirfs and the rest. That's how it goes. If I'm taking an offensive lineman in the top 10, it's got to be Tristan Wirfs. The Giants will be well advised to do that unless Simmons is still there at number 4. I love Andrew Thomas. He's my number 2 guy because of the consistency factor. He could be another possibility at number 11, but I still see, you know, a call to arms, you know, or as Braun Strowman says in WWE fame, you know, get these hands. You got to get themselves some hands out there. They lost Robbie Anderson. Actually, I think they upgraded because if he could stay healthy, Perryman's going to be a really good receiver for them. Still, I like the physicality that CeeDee Lamb brings to the field. I look at, even if I go for an offensive lineman at number 11, I'm coming up at number 48. We got ourselves a DK Metcalf that knows how to run routes over there and Chase Claypool. Now, not only could I use Claypool like the Detroit Lions use Kenny Galladay, I could turn around and possibly use him as my motion tight end. This is a big kid. This is a powerful kid. You know, when they come up at number 48, if they do go offensive lineman in the first round, they have to go for a receiver or more likely go for a cornerback. And one cornerback that they like that other people have as a third round is Troy Pride out of Notre Dame. Yeah, he struggled a bit this year, but if you go back and look at Notre Dame's defense, they changed the defensive scheme from the one that was used in the first 3 years. However, you go look at the Senior Bowl, you go look at the combines. Hell, he made a catch at the combines over there. Everybody was calling him Willie Mays Ace. I think what we're going to see with them coming up on the board, they need help at wide receiver. They need help on the edge, offensive lineman, cornerback. And I think they could use a change of pace running back later on in day 3, just for the simple situation is I don't think Montgomery is long in a Jets uniform. I don't even think that Bell is long for a Jets uniform if somebody comes up and puts a number 2 in front of them. And also, when you look at number 2, if you're still looking to go on the edge on number 2, Curtis Weaver from Boise State. However, when you come up round 3, round 4, there is a kid that I'm telling everybody right now is going to be a superstar, and that's out of Charlotte, and his name is Alex Highsmith. You talk about a kid with Richard Dent motor. Now, the kid was pretty much a secret till he got into the All-Star games and everything. Right now, he possibly will have to go in round 3 to some team. But the Jets are sitting there with 68 and 79. They could also turn around and probably still find Hakeem Adeniji, the Kansas offensive lineman, because this is a good swing guy that could play either tackle or guard. So if they do go receiver in round 1, they could still find a quality tackle over there from the Kansas kid when they come up in round 3.
Lots of great information there. So let's focus back on round 2, maybe round 3 to some extent. A lot of people think this is a great receiver class. You've given us a few names, but let's say the Jets do go offensive line in the first round. Who are a few other receivers to keep in mind as we move into the second day of the draft?
I think he's going to move into tail end the 1, but you also have Denzel Mims from Baylor. I'll be curious to see if Carolina tries to trade up in round 2 to snatch a late round 1 in order to get him. Remember his history over there with the coach, Matt Rhule. These two guys right now just fly off the board, but I'm looking at the guys probably in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round that could bring you same value. I'll just head right up to Rhode Island and take Isaiah Coulter and have the second coming of Wes Welker with speed, a Julian Edelman type of wide receiver that I can play in the slot. If not, I turn down and I go down looking at the kid from Texas who will probably still be there in day 3, Devin DuVernay. Also in round 3, I like the big physicality that you could get from Michigan wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones. Coulter to me is one of my favorites because you know what it is? I like those guys. I think I can. I know I can. That's what you're going to get out of Coulter.
Jets have a need at corner. So who are some prospects you might have your eye on if you were the Jets at the cornerback position?
They've been in and pulling so much information on Troy Pride over here. I think they have him stashed in one of their closets over there at the complex, and they're going to let him out when they return on April 23rd. But still, one kid to watch for in round 2, if he's still there, is Antoine Winfield. Why? Because he has experience at quarterback, and he could play free. He could play the free safety position, and he's just as powerful as a strong. Remember one thing: you go back last year. You know, Adams is a great safety in his own right, but Mays was banged up quite a bit. Still, if you go ahead for Winfield, you could play him at slot corner, or you could bring him on and play him as your cover two safety, and go with three safeties in certain situations. Not only that, the kid brings value as a return man to the game. And ever since they got rid of, the kid up, Roberts up with Buffalo, that could be an area to upgrade, you know, go two for one with one guy.
And Winfield's father, actually, I remember back in 2004, he came close to signing with the Jets, and then he ended up signing with the Vikings. So maybe it would all come full circle if the Jets were to get him. How about the edge? Do you see which edge rushers stand out to you in this year's class?
I'm not at 11. I don't think there's a quality edge rusher there at 11. You could possibly go ahead and trade down and take a Zach Bourne, but I see Zach more as a round two type of guy. I see Weaver either a two or a three, because not only could he play defensive end, he could put his hand down on the ground man and play the five tech. He could also back up and play middle linebacker, and you saw the injuries we had at middle linebacker last year. Highsmith, I'm very high on. If I'm coming up later on in the draft and I'm looking at a guy, that tall, angular guy reminds me a lot of Mike Vrabel, and that's Cam Brown from Penn State, and I could probably get him in the fifth or sixth round and still get a quality. Later on, round seven, possibly as a free agent, the transfer to Maryland this year, Keandre Jones. This kid's got a motor and a half on him. Reminds me, when I look at him on the football field, he reminds me a lot of Jamie Collins that just recently left the New England Patriots.
Now, we've talked a little bit about some of the early offensive linemen, but as the draft moves into the second and third days, who are some guys who stand out to you?
Oh, even Rip Van Winkle jumped up and down this year at Georgia, seeing what they got there. Solomon Kinley, the offensive guard, the swing man, Isaiah Wilson. I think Wilson is as close to being a Trent Brown as any offensive lineman in this draft. And the thing I love about him, here's another guy that could swing inside, or you could go ahead and play outside. Look at the kid up at Connecticut. This is another guy you'll probably have to take him late day three, early day four, but Matt Pert is a, how could I put it, an NFL-ready offensive tackle for somebody. And then you go later on in the draft and look at some of the guys over there. Look at the guy that walked away with the combines with the second-best lift over there, Simon Stepaniak out of Indiana. Because of his knee surgery, he's probably still going to be sitting on the board when you come up in round six or round seven. I'm not a Calvin Throckmorton fan. I do know that they like him, but I think that he's also the type, the kid out of Oregon. Horrible combine, horrible senior bowl, more than likely will slide into the round seven area.
Now, I'd be remiss without asking you what you think of the Jets. What do you think, how well do you think the Jets have done in free agency so far?
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. I love to pick up McGovern because I think McGovern is a quality center. In fact, I would put him in a Ryan Jensen class. But George Fund, I mean, you know, you might have to sit out there and go WTF on this guy. I mean, this guy is horrible. Out of 81 offensive tackles rated last year, he came in 57th overall with a 60.6. Added 81 offensive linemen, offensive tackle that were graded. In pass protection, he came in 67th. And run production out there, as far as his run offense ability, he was 50th among those 81 guys. You lay $30 million down on a guy like that over there? George, hey, listen, why don't you go to the Enquirer right now and reveal the dirty pictures you have on the Jets front office?
Dave T., anything else you'd like to add before we close out our show today?
I think with Joe Douglas in place, you're going to see more certainty with the draft. You're not going to see a guy like their previous general manager that will hem and haw. Well, I got to go for the best available athlete. Joe knows he's got a lot of needs over there. Joe knows he only had an average veteran free agent signing period. Here's where he gets to hit a home run. Hopefully, he does not do anything stupid and trade down from the number 11, because someone is basically just going to fall right into his lap there.
All right, Dave T., thank you so much for joining us, and stay safe.
Take care, big guy.
That's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, subscribe to this show on your favorite podcast source and leave it a good review. Hope you have a great Wednesday, everybody, and we will be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.